Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ketubos, Daf Nun Aleph. We begin two lines from the top, Nun Aleph of an Aleph, with the two dots. The Gemara starts off and tells us how Yosom, the once was a Yosom, a orphan, and he had a sister, the Yosoma. So there's this brother and this sister, the Nebuch, the parents died. The Asul Kamei de Rava, they came to Rava, and they said, the girl wants to be fed from the boy who inherited the estate, her brother. So what do you do in that situation? This was what we discussed in yesterday's share. Do you go and take from the Karka only, or are they also allowed to take from the Metaltalin? So Rava said to the one who was the apotropos in charge of the Yosom's estate, and he said, Halu la Yosom b'shul Yosoma. Go and take extra food when you're doing as the apotropos, and you're going to take food for the Yosom, so go and also take for the Yosoma. As Rashi says over here, these two were the Yosom and Yosoma were Ach v'Yachos, a boy and a girl, brother and sister, and they're saying, Biad apotropos, and the apotropos was managing the estate that was inherited by this boy. So Rava told him, go and take for the Yosoma when you go and take for the Yosom at the same time. In other words, go and take food from the Yosom and give it to the Yosoma. Amar li Rabbanan l'Rava, the Rabbanan questioned Rava and said, wait a second, you are the one that said, for Marhu the Yomar, you yourself are the one that said, mi mikarkoi, you're allowed to go and take, below mi mitaltale, but you can't take from movables, you can only take from karka. And therefore, this boy was being given over here movables, metaltalin, he was being given food, and you gave some extra food for the girl. How can you do that? And you, Rava, were one that said that you don't take over here for metaltali, bein lemazoni, whether it's for food, bein leksuba, whether to pay for the ksuba, or bein leparnasa, or for nedunya, the dowry. So, under no circumstances was this girl, Yosoma, entitled to get this food or anything else from metaltali. So how was Rava able to do this? So Rava answers back very sharply. He says, Amalu, he says to them, Ilu rotzo shivcho l'shamsho, mi lo yavid alei. If this boy says, I need a maidservant around the house to go clean the house, to go and take care of his needs, wouldn't you as the apotropos go and take that and pay for such a maidservant? So in this situation, you have the best of both worlds. Kol shekein hocha, in this situation, when it's a sister, dikatarte, she could function also to work, to help keep the house clean, to go and do various necessary chores in the house. And this way, she's also getting it as a sister. So you give both over here, essentially killing two birds with one stone. You're giving him the aid that he needs, as well as you're taking care of the Yosoma. That was Rava's suggestion. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa. Whether you're dealing with karka is called land that has a chrayis to it because it's leaned property. If a person sells it, so at the time of the sale, anything that he already owed, that karka is leaned to the prior shibudim that he had. And other things, the elam achrayis, which is the classical way we describe metaltalin. So both of these, according to the Tanakhama, whether it's nechosim sheish lemachrayis karka or nechosim sheish lemachrayis metaltalin, motzin lemazon isha v'labonos. So if this is what was inherited, so we can take from whether it's karka or whether it's metaltalin, the Tanakhama, Divrei Rebbe, says that you're allowed to go and provide support to the isha and her bonos from these metaltali. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, Divrei Rebbe. Now, Rabbi Shimon Lozer disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Lozer may no, depends. Nechosim sheyesh lamachray is the karka type of nechosim. So motzin labonos min habonim. Then you can use those to go and provide for the bonos min habonim. In other words, as Rashi points out, if you need lemezonos ulefarnasa for the bonos, you can go and take this from karka to support the girl. No problem. Either for mezonos for food or parnasa for the nedunya that you have to supply to her from the estate. Likewise, vilabonos minabonos. If there are only girls, so the older girls took, they're able to go and take on their own, and the younger ones got nothing, so then you can go and force the older girls to give half the appropriate portion to the young girls, because they all inherit evenly. As Rashi says, miktanos minagdolos. If the gadolos grabbed and took, so the ktanos can be taken care of from the grabbing that the gedolos took. Meinsham ela bonos, they're only girls. Ve'achziku gedolos b'nechosim. Rashi says that the older ones took the nechosim, the property, the karka. So motzi miyadam. So you take it away from them v'cholkos b'shava and you divide it up. Let's say there was one older girl and one younger girl. The older girl took everything. So you go and force her to give half to the younger girl. V'hocha leko mezoni shena bonos mezonos mina bonos. Here you're not talking about mezonos because the girls don't get mezonos at the expense of the other girls. They all get mezonos evenly because they all inherit evenly. Fishukulon shavos b'yerusha. So therefore, they all get the yerusha. And if the older ones grabbed it, so you take it back and you divide it up evenly between the older ones and the younger ones. That's what it means. The labonos mina bonos. And likewise, Rabbi Shimon Halaza says, "V'labanim min habanim." If you had the same situation as Rashi points out, "Liktanim min hagdolim la'achlok b'shabbat." If the older brothers took the entire estate, so the younger brothers got nothing. So of course you go and take appropriately share the estate amongst the older and younger brothers. Finally, "V'labanim min habanos b'nechasim rubim." Likewise, if the estate is considered a large estate, in other words, then you have the banos that are entitled to go and get the dunya from the estate. So then, in that situation, the banos are entitled to the dunya, but they don't get the entire estate. So the boys are able to go and take the estate, and they give the girls the dunya from the estate. So here you're calling it, you're taking the labanim, you take for them min habanos b'nechasim rubim. The banos took everything, but they're not entitled to everything. They're really only entitled to take midrabanon enough of their dowry. So therefore, the banim go get to take the entire estate if there's nechasim rubim, and they give the appropriate share to nedunya to the girls. However, that's when there's nechasim rubim. That's when it's a large estate. Aval lo labanim min habanos b'nechasim rubim. But the banim aren't allowed to go and take it if there's only a small amount of the estate. The estate is a relatively meager estate, so then the girls get it all, and the boys go out in bed. Because in that situation, the din is that the rabbis were masaking that the girls get it all, and the boys don't get anything in that situation. So lo labanim min habanos, the banim don't get from the girls if there's only a very small estate. B'nechasim rubim. Finally, this is true for the chosim sheyesh lahem achrayis. This is for karka. However, the Braisa continues, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar is nechosim she'ein lahem achrayis. If there is no achrayis, it's metaltalin. So then, motzim labonim and abonim, for labonos and abonos. So then, we divide it up evenly. If the boys that were older took the entire estate, the estate's just metaltalin, and they took all of it. So of course, we divide it up. We take it back from them, and we give a share, a fair share, to each of the children. They all get the same share, the older ones and the younger ones. And likewise, if it was all girls, so the older girls took it. So we divide it and give the younger girls. V'labanim min habanos. And likewise, in this situation, if the older girls took the metaltalin, they're not entitled to anything. That's what Rav Shimon Elazar says. And therefore, you give it all to the boys in that situation, because the girls aren't entitled to any nedunya or mizonos when it's only metaltalin, but not avalola bonos min abonim, and the girls don't get anything from the bonim in this situation. So clearly we see that Rav Shimon Elazar makes a differentiation between whether there is achrayis, there's property that's karka, or there's only metaltalin. There's only metaltalin movables that are given over here in the estate and no karka. So this is the machlokas between Rabbi, the Tanakam, who says we don't differentiate between nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayis, nechosim ein lahem achrayis. The girls get 100% what they're entitled to, whether it's karka or metaltin. Whereas Rav Shimon Elazar says, I agree with you 100%, Rabbi, in regards to the chosim sheish lamachrayis, karka, but not from metaltin. That's the machlokis. So Gemara says, Apo gav de kaimel on alocha ki Rabbi mechaveiro. Under normal circumstances, we always pass like Rabbi when he's one-on-one against any other tanoim. Here, the alocha is like Rav Shimon Elazar. In this situation, it's the exception to the rule, alocha Rav Shimon Elazar. Why? Because the Amar Rava says, Hilchasa mi mekarkoi v'lo mi metaltoi. That's what Rava had said. That Rava was the one that said that we paskin over here that the girls are only entitled to take from karka, from nechosim sheish lahem achrayis, and not from metaltolim, nechosim she'ein lahem achrayis. And this is true, not only bein l'ksuba for the collection of the ksuba, bein l'mzoni for a collection of food, or bein l'parnos or for the dunya, for the dowry. In all of these situations, they're only entitled to get from nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayis, from karka, but not from nechosim she'ein lahem achrayis, not from metaltolim. Okay, now we're going to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, lo kosev lo ksuba, if the husband did not write a ksuba for his wife. So, regardless, besula gove masayim v'amona mona. There's a 200 and 100 rule. Even if there was no ksuba written, nevertheless, a woman who was married as a besula collects 200, rachmanasan, upon death or divorce of her husband, and an amona would collect 100 upon death or divorce of the husband, even if it wasn't written as a ksuba. Why? Because the rabbi set up that whether it's written or not, you get this 200 for a besula, 100 for an amana. Now, what happens if the husband wrote, "Kosev lo sadeh shavimane tachas mosayim zuz"? The husband tried to pull a fast one over here. And he says, here, I'm going to set up this field, which is worth only 100 zuz, and this will be in place of your ksuba that you're entitled to 200 zuz. Right? Amana is 100 zuz. Two mana are 200 zuz. So he says, I'll give you this field, I'll designate this field for your ksuba, but the field's only worth 100. So what happens if he does this? The low cost of lokol nechosim, this li achiroi in liksuba sech. And he doesn't write, as we have in our ksuba, that his entire estate, whatever he owns, is going to be kineged the ksuba. So he's trying to get away with the fast one and saying only this field that's worth 100 is going to be for your ksuba. Nevertheless, even though he tried to pull a fast one over here, chayev shu tanai beis, he's going to have to pay you the 200 zuz and not just go to this field of 100, because that is the tanai beis din. Like we said in the beginning, even if you didn't write ksuba, you get the 200, 100. So if you tried to pull a shenanigan over here and you give her a field that's only 100 and you don't designate anything else, and you say, well, you can collect your ksuba of 200 only from this field of 100, so then it doesn't work, and he's chayev to pay the 200 from any of his other properties because that's the tanai beis din. Mishnah continues and says, what happens if he didn't write in the ksuba, lo kosav lo imtish taboy efri kinach, that if you, Rachman Hassan, are kidnapped, if you're captured for ransom, I will go and redeem you. And when I redeem you, vosvinach li into, and I will return you to me for my wife. He didn't write that in the ksuba. Or, if it's a kohenes, meaning he's a kohen, and his wife is the one that he's referring to over here as the kohenes, and he says, adrinach, because Rachman Lislan, if the woman was captured, so we had said already previously a number of times that we have to be choshesh Rachman Lislan that she was assaulted, that she was raped, nebuch, and the Kohen, even though his wife had absolutely no willingness at all whatsoever to the situation, Rachman Lislan, the Kohen can't live with his wife after she's Rachman Lislan been raped. So in that situation, he's supposed to write into the ksuba that I'll redeem you, but then you'll return back to your country, because Nebuch, we can't live together, as opposed to by the non-Kohen wife. So he writes, Osvinoch, Lilintu, you'll return back to me to be your wife. Yisrael, Rachman's son, his wife is raped, so of course he can stay married to her, whereas the Kohen's wife, he can't stay married to her. So what happens if he didn't write this in the Ksuba? So again, Chayiv, you still have to do this all because this is the Tanayim Beisdin, that this is a part of the requirement for the husband to redeem his wife. If Rachman the son, she is captured, and if she's not the wife of a Kohen, so then he returns her to marry him. And if she is the wife of a Kohen, so then the husband, who's the Kohen, has to just redeem her and return her back to her father's house. He returns her back to Lebedin Oseach, because he's Rachman Hassan, not allowed to live with her. So whether he writes this in the Ksuba, he has to do so. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, Nishbeis, if the girl Nebuch is captured, Chayav Liftosa, the husband has an obligation to go and redeem her. He can't say, I'm not doing this. And if he tries to get out of it, Dim Omar, Hare Gita, here's your get, and Uksubasa, and I'll pay you the full Ksuba. Let's say the ransom is worth $100,000, and the Ksuba is only worth $50,000, so he says, I'll save myself $50,000. I'll divorce her, give her the Ksuba, and say goodbye. Can't do that. If he says to her, here's your get, here's your ksuba, v'sif de zatzva, and go redeem yourself, so hey, no retro, he can't do this, because this is one of the chiyuvim of the marriage, that he has to go and redeem her. So he can't just pay her ksuba and walk away, he has to redeem her. And even though the redemption is much more than the ksuba, he can't just give her ksuba and walk away. That's the first part of the last part of the Mishnah. But then it says, what happens if one of the loksa? She gets sick. She has some sort of nebuch illness. And chayla posa, the husband normally has the obligation to go and heal his wife. But here he says, listen, the cure is $100,000. Your ksuba is worth $50,000. He says, no problem. Here's your get, Omar Hare Gita. Here's your get. Here's your ksuba, ksubasa. And go and pay the doctor bills yourself, to Rabbi Zatzla. So here, it seems to be analogous to the case that we just said about the redemption. But here the Mishnah says, Rashoi, he has the right to do this. And the understanding for this is as follows. As Rashi points out, the Yom HaSchor Rashoi, She'ein Odom Chayev Lozun Grushoso. Because he's allowed to divorce his wife. And once he divorces her, he is not mechuyev to go and pay for her mezonos. And refuah is included in the category of mezonos. That's part of the sustenance that a man has to give to his wife. So just like he's allowed to divorce his wife and then he's not responsible for her mezonos, so too. Well, we're not talking about a nice guy over here that he would divorce his wife when she's sick, Rachmanu Litzlan, but we're talking about the pure financial aspect of it. So this person would technically be allowed to divorce his wife, give her the ksuba, and say, now you're on your own in terms of your health care. Go pay for your own expenses if you wish to. Again, we're not talking about what's right. We're not talking about this person's a tzaddik. We're not talking about, is this person doing something that is just a horrible thing? Of course, if he divorces his wife because she's sick, that's a horrible thing. But we're just talking here about the pure financial responsibility. Technically, he's allowed to go and divorce her because the responsibility to heal her is included in mezonos. And just like he can divorce her and say, I'm no longer paying you mezonos, he can divorce her and say, I'm no longer going to pay your medical bills. Now the Gemara starts off and says, who is the author of the Reisha of the Mishnah, where it said that if you didn't write down the Shtar Kesuba, nevertheless, there's still the 200 and 100 for a Basula and an Amona, respectively, who is the author of our Mishnah? Mani. So the Gemara says, Rav Meir, this is the opinion of Rav Meir. Why? Because he says, Domar, kol ha-poches le-vesula mimasayim, uli amona mimona, harezu bilaznus. Rav Meir's opinion is that if you go and have relations with your wife, and you didn't have a ksuba of 200 for a basula and a ksuba of 100 for an amana, so then that relations that you had with her is considered a bilaznus, it's considered a terrible thing, because the ksuba is an automatic requirement of the marriage. And therefore, our Mishnah must be in accord with Rav Meir, who says that automatically there's a ksuba of 200 and 100, because otherwise it would be a bilaznus. So the author of the Reish of a Mishnah must be Rav Meir. And the Gemara proves this. It says, because the Rabbi Yehuda, if you want to tell me that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, it can't be. Why not? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds, Omar, Rotza Kosei Libsula Shtar Shel Masayim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if a person wanted to, he technically could give his wife a ksuba of 200, but he then goes and tells her, Vihiko Seves, I want you to write for me, and she does write for him a receipt, his Kabbalti Mechomona, that I already got 100 of the 200. So he writes that he owes her 200, but then he makes her write that he paid her 100. So in other words, he's really only giving her a ksuba of 100 instead of 200 for a basula, or vice versa, for an amana. Well, the amana, who's supposed to get mana, he writes her a ksuba of a mana, but then he makes her write, b'ikosevis, it's kabal to b'chol chamishim zuz. Yeah, I also got 50 zuz already, so you only owe me 50 zuz more. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is allowed. So therefore, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that it's a bilas nus if the wife doesn't have a ksuba of 200, she's a basula, or 100, she's an amana. So obviously, our author of our Mishnah isn't going to be Rabbi Yehuda. So the Reisha is Rav Meir and not Rav Yehuda. Mor says, but then keep on reading the Mishnah. Ein Masefa, go to the next part of the Mishnah, where it writes, Kosev lo sada shavim mona tachas mosayim zuz, if he goes and writes for her a field that is only worth the mona instead of the 200 zuz, the low kosev lo, and he doesn't write, kol nechosim disli acheroi and liksu basech, and the other property that I have is a lien on it for your ksuba. Nevertheless, even though he didn't write it, chayiv, he has to go and pay it. Why? Shehut Tanai Basic, because this is automatically built in. Now, who is the author of this statement? The same for the Mishnah. Asol Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds the Yom Achrayis, if you didn't write down Achrayis in the Ksuba. In other words, if you didn't write down that all my Nechasim are leaned for your Ksuba, so then it's there anyway. It's a Tanai Basic, and the fact that it wasn't written down is just a total sofro. It's just a mistake. But that's the Masofer's problem, not your problem. You are entitled to it. So clearly the Sefer, the second part of the Mishnah, is Rabbi Yehuda. Why not Rav Meir? Because the Rav Meir, if you're going to tell me it's Rav Meir, Omar, Rav Meir's opinion is, Achrayis lav to Sofer. If you left it out of the Ksuba or any Shtar, so Rav Meir holds, that's it, you left it out. It's not a mistake on the Sofer's part. It was intentionally left out, and therefore it's not in there. Where do we see this? It's not. Because we learned in the Mishnah above the Metziah, it says, Matzah Shtari Chov, if you were to find a whole bunch of Shtar Chovs, Shtari Chov, documents that say that Ruvein owes Shimon money, let's say. Im, and we turn to Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Im Yesh Bohen Achrayis Nuchosim, if these are documents that would entail a lien on the property. In other words, these are documents that are going to be able to collect from karka that he previously had. This shtar over here would entitle the person who is the owner of the shtar. So if you find the shtar and you return it back to the owner, the malva on the shtar, he would be able to go and collect from the lova, from lien property, so then lo yaxir. So then this Mishnah above the Messiah says you're not allowed to give it back to him, because we have to be concerned, should based in Ephraim, and based would be able to go then and collect from lien property, and we have to be concerned that, let's say, Reuven had lent Shimon money, and this document states that Reuven had lent Shimon $1,000, and Shimon agrees, Rashi says, he even admits, that yes, this is a 100% valid document. So if we return it to Reuven, and we allow him to collect from Shimon, but Shimon right now has no money, so what's going to happen? Levi, who bought the property from Shimon after this loan took place, is now going to be having to go and give back the property to pay off the debt to Reuven. And Levi is going to be out of his property. Oh, granted, Shimon owes him the money for it, but Shimon doesn't have any money. So we have to be concerned that Reuven and Shimon made a canunya over here. They made a shenanigan. And this document really was not supposed to be given back to Reuven. And Shimon said, yes, I'll say that I owe you the money. And in this situation, you'll collect the money and then we'll split it afterwards. You'll get the karka from Levi and we'll split it afterwards. So we have to be concerned about a kanunya if it's something that yesh ben achrayis, as opposed to ein ben achrayis, if there is no achrayis nechosim. And but achrayis nechosim, this was only metaltalin that this document says. Then there's no problem. Yachzi, you can give it back. Because if Shimon is going to make a kenunya, so he's the only one that's going to have to pay. Levi won't have to pay in this situation. It's not leaned. So if Shimon wants to say, yeah, this is a good document, the only person that's being heard is Shimon. And that's because Shane Basin and Farahmehan, Divrei Meir, because Basin will not go and take lien property over here because it's metaltalin. Now, that's the opinion of Meir. The Chachamim Amrim, now who are the Chachamim? So Rashi says that these Chachamim is talking about Yehuda. The Ramaz Chachamim, the Achrayis Tov Sofer, the Chachamim over here hold that this is a mistake. Achrayis is a Tov Sofer. If you don't write it down, it's there anyway. It's a mistake. The Torah mi Mishubadim, and you're allowed to go and collect from Mishubadim, Umasade Lukuchos, and the Lukuchos will lose out. So this is the opinion of the Chachamim, and who are these Chachamim? Ubnei Plukse, the Rabbeya, Rabbi Yehuda Haba. Because he was the regular Bali Plukta of Rav Meir in that generation. In any event, Rav Meir says over here that if you have the finding of these properties, these documents that are lien properties, yesh ben achrayis nechosim, so then you're not allowed to give it back. But if it's not achrayis nechosim, so then you are allowed to give it back. That's Rav Meir's opinion. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim, i.e. Reb Yehuda, say, echazeh ve'echazeh lo yachzir. You can't go and return these documents, these shtarichov that you found, back to the Malva. Why? Shebeis din Ephraimen, because Beis Din is going to go collect from them no matter what. These are good documents. So Beis Din is going to go, according to the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and go collect from them. So clearly, the opinion of the Sefer, the second part of the Mishnah, is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a little bit of a problem over here. In the same Mishnah, without specifically mentioning names, we don't want to say that the unnamed Reisha is one opinion and the unnamed Sefer, well, the second part is another opinion. So here we have a problem. Reisha Rav Meir, Sefer Rav Yehuda, doesn't make any sense. Ah, you're going to tell me, V'chitem Okul Rav Meir, you're going to tell me the whole thing is Rav Meir. The shiny Leila Rav Meir, Ben Ksuva L'shtari. And the reason why in the Reisha, it's a Ksuba, so Rav Meir in that situation said that it automatically has to be there, whether you have Tov Sofer or not. But in the Sefer, that's talking about a Shtar, so there, Tov Sofer is not automatically going to be listed, and it's a mistake. If Sofer didn't write it down, then it's a mistake. So the more questions is, Umi Shainalei, where do we make a distinction between Iksuba and Shtarichov? For Tanya, I'll show you for the following Brisa. The following Brisa says, there are five things. Chamisha, there are five things that go with Min HaMichororin, that the Malveh is allowed to go and collect from Michororin. Michororin means free properties, which means metaltalin. It means from things that don't have a chrayis. So only in these five cases can you correct only from metaltalin, but you can't go into lien property. Ve'elohen, what are these five things? So peros, ushvach peros. So this is dealing over here, a Mishnah in Gittin Rashi tells us, where it says, in Dira Basu peros, ushvach peros, ein motzin la'achilas peros ulishvach karkos minichoset mishubodim. What are we talking about over here? You have that one person stole something. So Reuven stole something. And then Reuven goes and sells it. He sells it to Shimon. So now Shimon puts in, he thinks it's a perfectly good property, and he puts in a lot of time, effort, and money into making this a good field. And all of a sudden, the one who Reuven stole it from comes back and says, give me back my field. He stole it from me. So Shimon has to go give back the field. But he says, hey, wait a second. I put in all this time and effort and money, so I want to be paid for that. So in this situation, he can only go and collect from what are called metaltalin, only things that he has right there. It could be karka as well, but it means that he has right then and there. But he can't go and collect from lien property that he had sold subsequently to that, because you never know how much shevach and effort and peros were put into growing this field. So therefore, the peros, the shvach peros, cannot be used to be collected from nechosim that aren't extant right then and there. You can't go and collect from lien property. It's only from michororin, which means metaltalin that are there, or karka that's there right then and there, but hasn't had a lien on it by being sold to somebody else. Likewise, the makalul of lozen is ben ishto uvas. If a man goes and marries a woman, and she already has children from a previous husband, and this man says in the ksuba, I'm going to be happy to go and support her children from the previous marriage, her children, her son, her daughter, no problem, I'll support them. So makalul of lozen is ben ishto uvas ishto. So in this situation as well, we only allow that daughter to go and collect, or that son to go and collect from this stepfather. The stepfather passes away, so you can only go and collect from properties that are extant, but not from lien properties. And likewise, the get chov, A get chov, a get is really means shtar. We, in the vernacular, we always think of a get as a divorce document. But technically, a get means a shtar. So if a get chov means a shtar, an IOU shtar. This is a regular shtar chov. She'en bo achrayis, it doesn't have achrayis on it. So therefore, in that situation, you're not allowed to go and collect from it except from properties that are extinct. You can't collect it from lien properties. So here you clearly see, you're going to tell me that the second part is Remeir that says that there's toh sofrim over here? No, you clearly see over here, if it's a get chov she'en bo achrayis, or uksubas isho she'en bo achrayis, if you say that it's toh sofer, then you should be able to collect from it. But here it says you can't collect from it. Now, who was the author of such an opinion? Mine Shamaslay, the Omar, Achrayis Lav Tov Sofer. Who's the one that says that Achrayis is not automatically assumed to be an oversight of the Sofer if he doesn't write it down, that it's real, it's true? So that's Rabbeinu's opinion. And nevertheless, Uktani Ksubas Isha, it says over here that the Ksub of an Isha, if it doesn't state specifically that you can go collect from the lien properties, so then you can't go collect from the lien properties. So this is Rabbeinu. That's not the opinion of the Sefer of the Mishnah, the second part of the Mishnah. So therefore, we're stuck. So we have the Reisha of Meir, and the second part, the Sefer, is Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says you can answer it either way. Ibai is saying Rav Meir is saying both of them, or Ibai is saying Rav Yehuda is saying both of them. How is that? So we answer first for Rav Yehuda. Sometimes we answer Rishon Rishon, sometimes we answer the Achron first. Okay. Ibai is saying Rav Yehuda, if you want to say that the entire Mishnah actually is in accord with Rabbi Yehuda, because you read it as follows. In the Mishnah that we mentioned, where we saw that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if she writes down his kabalti, that's fine, and therefore you don't have automatically the 200-100, so that's because she actually wrote his kabalti. But without her writing his kabalti, then stam or Mishnah, hachalo kosule his kabalti. So even Rabbi Yehuda could be the author of the Reisha of our Mishnah. We can't bring a raya from the Mishnah on Nundalad Amud Beis that says his kabalti, because there she wrote his kabalti. In our Mishnah, she didn't write his kabalti, so therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would say in our Mishnah, she's entitled to 200 if she's a basula, 100 she's an amana, whether it's written or not. So therefore, this Ibai Seima, we can learn the Reisha like Rav Yehuda, and the Sefer, the second part, is certainly like Rav Yehuda. Alternatively, Ibai Seima, we can learn the whole Mishnah like Rav Meir. The Reisha, again, was no problem to be like Rav Meir. How do you learn the Sefer like Rav Meir? Because what does it mean, my Chayav Diktani? When we said in the second part of the Mishnah, the Sefer, that he's Chayav, so what does that mean? It means Min HaMecho Rorin. It means that you have to pay the 200 Zuz in that situation from other property that he has right then and there, either property or metalin, but not from leaned property that he had previously sold. So therefore, the Sefer, the second part of the Mishnah, could even be like Rav Meir as well. Okay. Then we quote the next part of the Mishnah. It said, Lo kosav lo v'chule, if he didn't write for her that if you are captured, that I will go and redeem you, and you'll come my wife again. So then, even though he didn't write it, or if he was a Kohen, he said, I will go and redeem you and return you back. I can't keep married to you, but I will return you back to your family. I will return you back to your community. So then, even if he didn't write it, as a shtar of the ksuba, as a chiv of the ksuba, it exists anyway, because this is a tenai of the Beis Din. Gemara now asks, Amar Avu de Shmuel, Shmuel's father said the following, Eishes Yisroel, Shenenso, Rachmona, Litzlan, if the wife of Yisroel was Nebuch assaulted, she was raped, so then, Asur Labala, even the wife of Yisroel can't go back to her husband. Why not? That goes against what we said. So Shmuel said, because we're concerned, Chashinan, maybe, Shema, Tchilasa Bionetz, while this woman was assaulted, and the beginning of the assault certainly was against the will, maybe Nebuch, the Sofa Baratzon, that she eventually wanted this, and therefore she got an off from this situation, and therefore it is considered that she was a willing participant, albeit only in the end part of the relations, and therefore she's not allowed to go back to her husband. That's what Avu Dishmul said, and Rav is very much against this. Esri, Rav Le Avu Dishmul. Rav says, what are you talking about, Avu Dishmul? Im tishtaboy, efrikinach, yosvinach, lili into. The normal lashon of the ksuba is, if you are captured, I will redeem you, and you will return to me to be my wife. Now, the whole problem of being captured is we're concerned that she was assaulted while she's captured. And we don't say over here that maybe chashin Hashem atchilos abionis asofa b'rot. So how can you say, Avu Dishmul, that she's not allowed to go back to her husband? You clearly see, in the case of where she was kidnapped, that she's allowed to go back to her husband. And Shmuel's father is ishtik, he's silent. Now, He actually could have had an answer to Rav. And that's why Rav says, Kari Rav alei davu l'shmuel. Rav said about the father of Shmuel, the pasuk in Iyov is applicable to the father of Shmuel. The pasuk in Iyov says that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sarim atzru b'milim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shuts off the words of these officers, pekaf yosimu l'fiyem. And he puts their hand, their kaf, their palm of their hands, over their mouth and shuts them up. In other words, Avu Shmuel had an answer, and he didn't say it. No, what was the answer? Maislo Neymar. Gemara asks, no, what Rab would you have said that Avu Shmuel could have responded to you? So Gemara says, you could have said that Bishvuya Hekilu. By a captured woman, we allow her to go back to her husband because we don't have Vadai knowledge that she was definitely assaulted. It's just a chashash that maybe she was assaulted. So in this situation, we don't assume that even if she was assaulted, we don't have to say Chashin and Shemet Chilas Bonus Sofa Baratzel because maybe she wasn't even assaulted. And that's what we can be meikel in the case of Bishvuya. However, in the case where Avu Shmuel said that we know that she was never assaulted, so then we do have to be concerned that maybe at the beginning it was an assault, it was Rahman al-Aslan, a rape, but by the end she was already happy, and therefore Sofa was Barotso, and that's what Avu Shmuel could have answered to Rab. Nuri Mor says, Ul Avu Shmuel, how do you ever have a situation, Ones, the Shayer Rahmana, Hechem Ishkachisla? According to Avu Shmuel, who's Chayshina, Shemot Chilos, Bonus, Sovah, Ratzon, how would you ever have a situation where we know that the woman is allowed to go back to her husband, even in Yisrael? Because according to Shmuel, Avu Shmuel, there's always the concern that maybe she enjoyed it. Now we know the Torah says that she can't go back to her husband, so under what circumstances would Avu Shmuel say she go back to her husband? So Avu Shmuel would say, Kegon, for example, the case was the Ka'amri Edom, the witnesses who saw this entire Rahman al-Islam assault, would be able to say that she was saying stop, stop, stop from the very beginning to the end. So after he finished assaulting her, she was still saying stop. So therefore, it's a guarantee that it's not a situation of sofa beratzo. In Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down that even in a situation where she would say that I was Nebuch originally assaulted, but then I enjoyed it, so we still say that in that situation, the woman is considered assaulted and can go back to her husband. In any event, this din of Avu Shmuel is argued with by Rava also. Upliga the Rava. Rava disagrees with what Avu Shmuel said. Because the Amar Rava, Rava said, Kol shetchilos habionis v'sofa beratzon, afilu hi omeres hanichulo. Even if the woman says over here, leave this guy alone, hanichulo, because I would have actually paid to have relations with this man. Shomale lo niskak lo. If he hadn't attacked me, he's chocharto. I would have gone and hired him to Rahman al-Litzlan, commits nus with me. So clearly in this situation, it's sofa baratzon. Nevertheless, Rava says, even if it's 100% sofa baratzon, muteres, we still allow go back to her husband. Not like Avu Shmuel said, that we have to be concerned that sofa baratzon. Rava is saying, even if we know sofa baratzon, we allow her to go back to her husband. My timer. Rava says, why? Because the bottom line is, Yetzer al-Bisha. As Rashi points out, in Dibur Maslo, Yetzer al-Bisha, Gam ze ones. Shebetchilas bi lo shiba ones, he'll be shahabo Yetzer. That she was incited to this Aveira once the Aveira started, when she was a non-willing participant. She was assaulted, and then Nebuch, she enjoyed it after the assault began. So this is still called an onus, and that's why Rava says that the Yetzer al-Bisha, the desire over here for this Rahman al-Islam's nus, was brought forth upon her after she was an anusa. And therefore, Rava says, we totally disagree with Avu Shmuel. Avu Shmuel is only chayshina and sheva sofa beratzon. And Rava says, even if we know for a fact it's sofa beratzon, she's allowed to go back to her husband. And that's the din that I just mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that we passing like. And we have Brisa in support of Rava. Tanya Kavosi the Rava. What's the Brisa? The famous pasuk that we've adashed already many times. V'hi lo nispasa. The Torah tells us that Rahman al-Islam, if the girl is accused of having relations and she wasn't forced. Nispasa means she was forced. So v'hi lo nispasa, she wasn't forced. So then this woman is considered an adulteress and asura. She's not allowed to go live again with her husband. But the implication of the pasuk is when she was nispasa, her nispasa, she was forced, so then, muteris, she's allowed to go back to her husband, assuming her husband's not a Kohen. And the fact that it says over here, miot vehi lo nispasa, so we learn out that there is another woman besides this one, v'yesh l'cha acheres, sha'afa bisha lo nispasa, even though she wasn't forced, is also muteris labala, is also allowed to go back to her husband. And what's that scenario? V'ezo, which other woman who is not forced is still allowed to go back to her husband? That's called shuklilos of Yonis, of Rutzen. Ah, this Braisa is saying exactly like Rava said, that the woman who is Sofa Beratzon, so it's not Nispasa totally, but since the beginning was Beones, so the end is considered Beones as well, even though she is technically a willing participant in the end. So that's the way the Braisa dashes Nispasa, Vilo Nispasa. Another Braisa dashes it a little bit differently. Tani Yidach, another Braisa dashes the Pasuk, he lo nispasa, so he is a miyot, and lo nispasa means when she wasn't forced, then she is asura. If she was forced, then she's not asura. Ha nispasa, if she was forced, then mutaris, she's allowed to go back to her husband, assuming it's not a kohen. And then we darshin out, according to this other Braisa, v'yesh lo chacharis, there's another woman, sha'afo bishin nispasa, asura. Here we have, even though she wasn't a willing participant, she was in fact forced, so nevertheless, Sha'afa Pishin is Paso Asura. Who is this woman? Vezo Zu Ashes Kohen. So this is referring to the Ashes Kohen. Rahmon Lusan, she's absolutely a non-willing participant, but the din is an Ashes Kohen can never go back to live with her husband. Again, Halacha L'maisa, there are some ways that the woman can go live back to her husband, but we'll leave that for another time. Then we have another way to understand V'hilo Nispasa. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is a Tana, so he's a third Tanaic approach to how we dash in the Psukim of V'hilo Nispasa. So Rabbi Yehuda says, over the name of Shmuel, in the name of this Tana, Rabbi Shmuel, V'hilo Nispasa means that she, if she wasn't forced, is Asura to go back to her husband. Ha Nispasa, again, the implication being that if she was forced, Mutera to go back to her husband. V'yesh lo acheres, and there is another one that is afal pi shelo nispasa, even though she was not forced, is also muteres. Ve'ezo, and who is this referring to? Shekidusha, kidushe tos. When her husband married her, he made it with a certain type of a condition or a certain understanding, and then that understanding or condition didn't come through. So he said, I'm marrying you with the understanding that you don't have any mumim. And then it turns out she does have mumim, she does have blemishes, so the kidushin are kidushe tos. And in retrospect, it's as if she was never married. So therefore, if she commits adultery after that marriage, well, technically she didn't commit adultery because technically the marriage is uprooted, lemafreya, back from the beginning. And therefore, afilu, shafilu, bino, murkavakseva, she actually has a child from that husband. But nevertheless, since that marriage is uprooted totally because it's a kedusha tos, mima enes volechas, so she can just walk away in that situation. And even though she had a child with him, she is not considered to have been married to him, and therefore, if she did, Rahman al-San, commit adultery, she's not going to be punished because it's technically not called adultery if she's technically not a married woman. So these are three ways to darshan the pasuk v'hilo nispasa. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, hani nashe de ganvu ganove. Rabbi Yehuda says that Nebuch women that were kidnapped by ganovim, by armed robbers, shayon leguvrayu, they're allowed to go return back to their husbands because they're obviously not willing participants in this situation because these armed robbers, they have no interest in possibly marrying these women, so there's no way that these women would have been willing participants. I'm the Rabban of the Rabbi Yehuda, but the Rabban questioned Rabbi Yehuda and they said, really? But we see that these women who were kidnapped and assaulted by these robbers, these armed robbers, they bring them bread. Mamtion luhunama. So obviously they seem to be in a lovey-dovey relationship with them. So Yehuda says, absolutely not. Machazir, the only reason why they're bringing them bread is because they're terrified for their lives, that this guy's going to kill them if they don't have relations with them and they don't bring them bread. Adigmar says, when these armed robbers are in combat, maybe the police are coming to get them, so these women who were captured are going and feeding them arrows to go and fight with the police or to go fight with other robbers or whoever they're being attacked by. So you see that they're interested in them winning. So again, the Gemara says, Machmasi, Rabbi Yehuda would say, they're only doing this because they're terrified for their lives. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say that when these women were kidnapped by bandits, by ganovim, armed robbers, shayon legufrayu, they're allowed to go back to their husbands. However, the Gemara says, certainly, vadai, if the situation was that the robbers let them go free, the armed robbers said, go back to your husbands, shavkinu, v'azlo minavshayu, and they're allowed to go back to their husbands, but instead, they stay with the robbers, so then asira, then clearly, they're voluntarily staying with those robbers, and that's now called zanus, that's adultery, and they're also to go back to their husbands if they went back to the robbers when they had the opportunity to go free. Talking about another brayza that tells us, shivuyem malchus harein kishvuyin, that if you're captured by the king to go and serve in the harem of the king. In other words, there's no chance that you get married to the king, so then they're considered the kishvuyin. They're like considered women who are being assaulted, and they're allowed to go back to their husbands. However, genuve listus ain't a kishvuyin. But if they're captured by armed robbers, so then they're not considered like shvuyin, because maybe they're going to try to please these people and try to become their wives. And therefore, they are now, in fact, also to the husbands. Like what says, we just learned the opposite. Vatanya ifcha, we just learned the opposite. That the armed robbers, you're allowed to go back to the husbands. And here you're saying the armed robbers, you're not allowed to go back to the husbands. And we also said over here in this brisa that from the kings, that they're considered like shvuyin and allowed to go back to the husbands. We have another brisa that says, if the kings, you're not allowed to go back to your husbands. So everything seems to be backwards over here. So the word says, no. Malchus and Malchus Lokasha. The fact that one brisa that we just brought down, shvuyin, Malchus, Harei, and Kishvuyin, and they're allowed to go back to their husbands, and we have another brisa that says that shvuyin, Malchus, are not allowed to go back to their husbands. That's not a stira. Malchus and Malchus Lokasha, because it depends what type of Malchus you're dealing with. Haba Malchus Achashverosh, and the Malchus Achashverosh, he just collected women to be in his harem. None of them thought that they would really be the wives of Achashverosh, and therefore, they all expected to really just be in his harem. And therefore, none of them were willing participants over here. And therefore, Rachmana Litzlan, if they were assaulted, they would be allowed to go back to their husbands. But if it's a nice Malchus, Hobe Malchus Ben Netzer, Rashi tells us, was a Ganav. He was a well-known Ganav, and he captured a whole bunch of cities, and he set himself up basically as a king. Rashi said he was a listim hoya in the Dibur Maskil Ben Netzer. Yoros, he captured many cities. Umalachaleim, he was like a benign king over them. The Nashirosh Lishtim, he was the head robber. Ubididei Tanan, about him it said, Shvuyim Malchus, Eino Kishvuyim, Vasurus Lobaleim. Here, his wives weren't just in a huge harem, they were vying to be his wife and to really be married to him. And therefore, we have to be concerned that these women, in fact, voluntarily, willingly had relations with his Ben Netzer, and that's why they're not allowed to go back to the husbands. So, if it was a king like Achashverosh, that there was zero chance that they would be his wives, and they were just being in his harem, so then they're obviously forced, and they're allowed to go back to their husbands. But if it's a king like Ben Netzer, who they think, maybe we could be his wife, so then they may be willing participants, and they're also to go back to their husbands. So that's why Malchus and Malchus Lokasha. And likewise, Listus and Listus Lokasha. The first brisa we brought down said that if they're captured by Ganovim, they're allowed to go back to their husbands. And the second brisa that we had was that they're captured by Listim, they're not allowed to go back to their husbands. That's also not a kasha. Listus a listus lo kasha. Why not? Ha ben netzer, ha belistim di alma. Ben netzer, so we pointed out, they were hopeful that they would marry him. So Rachman al Sam, we have to be concerned that they're willingly having relations with him. And therefore, in that situation, when you're dealing with a listim like Ben netzer, so he is going to ruin them for their husbands. But if you're talking about regular armed robbers, so then people aren't interested in becoming their wives, and therefore these women would not be willing participants, and therefore, habalism the alma, they would be allowed to go back to their husbands. So the only question that we now have is, in one brisa we call Ben Netzer a listim, just now, and the other brisa we call them a melech. So Ben Netzer, nu, hasim korele melech, v'hasim korele listim, which one is he? So what says they could be both? It all depends, it's all relative. In, he could be considered both. Gabi Achashverosh, listim, who in regards to Achashverosh, who was a real king, a real monarch, so then Ben Netzer was a pseudo type of a monarch, he captured a couple of cities, so he's considered like a listim, an armed robber. However, Gabi Listim, but the guards to the other Listim, whoa, he's way ahead of them. And therefore, compared to Gabi Listim, the Alba, all the other armed robbers, he is so much above them, Melechu. And therefore, Ben Netzer will be called sometimes a king and sometimes a robber. This is a good breakpoint. With this, we'll conclude today's share.